And as you do, as you're turning your Bibles, just listen real quick. I need to take a poll. How many of you out there are feeling a little bit run down, a little bit sick? Anybody? Russ? Jane? Oh, a whole row here. Yeah, I would avoid that row right now, actually. We're feeling it in our family, Zachary particularly. Yesterday, he was having a horrible day yesterday. And it affects his breathing. We've discovered that when he gets sick, it starts to really impact his breathing. So we were out yesterday, me and the two boys, and all of a sudden he couldn't breathe. He was having a very hard time, very shallow breaths. We've seen this before. And so we got out of there quick, got him home. I plied him with all kinds of medications. I'm not a doctor, okay? But I play one on TV, and I gave him all kinds of stuff that I try to treat him, and thankfully they worked, okay, this cocktail that I gave him. But just being reminded yesterday of how fragile and frail and weak we are, how easily impacted we are by such small things. I was explaining to him what exactly a virus is, and it's teeny tiny. And it goes and it affects a cell and makes the cell replicate that virus. Like there's thousands and hundreds of thousands. And then they infect more cells and it just takes over until your body fights it. It's so small. And yet it can take down a whole person like him. And he is not small. He is not unhealthy. He is robust. Okay? But not robust enough. There's this sense of frailty and weakness and the inability sometimes for us to combat the things that attack us. And in his particular case, it's this little teeny tiny virus that's attacking him and attacking you and attacking you. And I guarantee you, by the end of the season, maybe all of us at some point will experience it. I'm kind of feeling it right now. Can you hear it in my voice? A little sweaty. Something's going on. We've been sharing water. Not a good idea, okay? He asked me, can I have some of your water? How do you say no? No, you are gross. Go to the kitchen. Of course you can have my water. And I'll just pay for it later. There is this weakness that I think is not only something that we experience physically, but it's also, in particular, something we experience spiritually. This weakness of failure, this weakness of how come I can't get out of my own way? How come I can't overcome this or that? I really believe that if we were to put you to the fire, in a moment of honesty, in a moment of transparency, I think you would be able to indicate to me, to somebody, to your spouse, to your parents, somebody where your best friend, somebody where you can be completely honest and you can indicate to that person your greatest weaknesses in your heart. The greatest ones. What are they? Oh, let's just list a few for fun, okay? This is going to be an uplifting sermon today, okay? Are you a proud person? Your greatest weakness is the fact that you are not humble. That's probably a lot of us. Your greatest weakness is the fact that you are a jealous person. Always envious of other people. Your greatest weakness is that you are a lustful person. You can't control your own eyes. Maybe your greatest weakness is that you are a judgmental person. Constantly looking down, thumbing your nose at other people. What's your greatest weakness? Maybe your greatest weakness is that you're lonely. And that in your loneliness, you seek out comfort from places you shouldn't be seeking out comfort. Why can't we overcome these things? Why can't we overcome them? I want to read you a passage this morning from Ephesians chapter 1. And I decided about 5 minutes ago, we're only going to go halfway through what I wanted to accomplish today. I'm going to read from verse 15 and I'm going to stop at verse 19. Let's read here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. I'm going to stop right there. I went through verse 20. But just stop right there for a moment. And I want to read again from verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We talked about last time in this passage that Paul is praying for believers. And he has one intent that on his mind, one purpose of his prayer. And his prayer is that you would know God better. It is good for us to know God better. It does us well to know God better. It feeds our soul to know God better. Our soul, if it's a person, if it's an organism, it needs nourishment. And that nourishment comes from spiritual knowledge. And so in a sense, when you're not engaged in the Word of God, when you're not learning about God from God, your spirit, first of all, is starving. It wants food. I know what that means. I experience that. And when I want food, I eat. And when your spirit wants food, your spirit needs to eat. And that comes from ingesting the Word of God. Paul says, that's all I want. All I want is for you to know God better. I want your eyes, the eyes of your hearts, to be opened, enlightened, so that you might know him better, so that you might become more like him. Staring into his face changes us, folks. Staring into the face of God makes us better people. And then he goes on, and he says specifically, I want you to know God better. I want you to know God better, and I want you to know these three things. I want you to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. These three things, the hope to which he has called you, we talked a lot about last week. This hope of the resurrection. Folks, I said to you last week that these three things, two of them look forward, one of them is for now. The more I look at this passage, I'm going to say that these three things all point us forward. The hope to which he has called you is a hope that one day Jesus will return. And when he returns, you see all this weakness that we experience, this weakness of susceptibility to viruses, but also more than that, the susceptibility that we have to these spiritual weaknesses, my pride, my jealousy, my lust, my anger, my, what else did I say? My loneliness, my searching for meaning in other places. All of these particular weaknesses that we experience, they go away when he comes back. They go away. They melt away. I have a friend, at a former church that I used to belong to. And this friend, it's very interesting. I'm almost positive he doesn't have Down syndrome. But he has kind of the facial features of Down syndrome. Maybe he has a mild form. I don't know. I suppose that there are degrees of this. Clearly, something is not quite all together with this individual. When you talk to him, every time I see him about once a year nowadays, and he remembers my name. He remembers my phone number. He has a tremendous memory. He asked me about my family. Nobody asked me about he asked me, how's your brother? He's doing good. How's your roommate? Oh, I haven't talked to him in years, but I think he's doing okay. He's doing okay. How's your ex-girlfriend? Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that, okay? He asked me all these things that he remembers from 20 years ago. And I'll answer. And then he'll ask me the same questions. How's your roommate? How's your brother? How's your friend? They're doing good. And then, you know what? I'll turn around. Hey, I got one more question. How's your brother? After a while, it gets a little bit tiring, a little bit exhausting. I think to myself, you know, how do I get out of this? How do I politely, you know, excuse myself? When Jesus comes back, this weakness that he experiences, this cognitive, intellectual weakness, it goes away. It melts away. You know, we most of us, predominantly, we're healthy. We're lucid in our minds. We're sharp. And we don't think about that. Until you experience and encounter people like this, particularly those of you who are in healthcare, who to treat people with chronic illness, those things go away. Yeah, we can have temporary relief from time to time. I'm really, really good at treating the symptoms of your common cold. I am a genius when it comes to that. I have a whole regimen. I have a whole battery of questions. Explain to me your symptoms. Okay? And then I have a drug for that. I have it. It's in the drawer. They're all individual. It's not like one of those super pills, the cold pills. No, no, no. I give you specifically to treat your sore throat, to treat your sinuses, to treat your cough, your fever, I got all individual. I can treat them, but I can't make it go away. All I can make it do is make you feel better for a little bit. And to be honest with you, most of the time, the stuff that we do when it comes to our weaknesses, whether they be physical or spiritual, it's just coping mechanisms. It's not really the healing that we want. It's just coping mechanisms. Coping so that we can get through the next day without falling short again. What we want, what we seek for, what we long for is complete healing, complete transformation. And that only comes when he comes again. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's the hope to which he's called us. The hope that one day you will completely and fully overcome the weaknesses that you experience. The glorious inheritance, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. We talked about this also last time. That we are God's choice. That we are God's pleasure. That he wants to be with us. That he wants us to be with him. I don't want to spend too much time talking about that this morning, because I want to get to the last one. Finally, he says, there's three things that I want you to know. I want you to know the hope to which he has called you, the hope which needs to drive us, that needs to spur us on, this hope that needs to continue to encourage us to believe, keep believing until one day he finally comes. The riches of his glorious inheritance, that God has chosen us to be his portion. And finally, Paul says, I want you to know this incomparably great power for us who believe. This power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. I want to talk about this power this morning. We didn't spend much time last week. This incomparably great power for us who believe. This power that is the same as the mighty strength. Paul wants us to recognize that this power is for us. And he wants us to understand a little bit this power. It turns out that in a very short context, Paul uses four separate words to describe this power. And I want to show you real quick here. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the strength, the working of his mighty strength. These four words strung together actually emphasize this great power for us. It's hard, and I find it an admirable attempt by the translators to try to make sense of these four words. He strings together four words. The power that is like the power that is like the power that is powerful is what Paul says. This power, this tremendous power that's available for us. The first word, and his incomparably great power, is the word dunamis. Dunamis is where we kind of get the idea of dynamite, dynamo. That's the first word, that this incredibly great dynamite power that is available for us. Have you ever worked with dynamite before? Have you ever seen, not on TV, not in Roadrunner, a stick of dynamite? You know, when we were growing up, I lived on a cul-de-sac in a city called Temple City. Temple City was very odd because surrounding Temple City was Arcadia and Pasadena and San Gabriel and San Marino and El Monte. All these other cities, fireworks were illegal, except in Temple City. So when it was 4th of July, our church, the youth group, come to my house because our street would have those safe and sane fireworks right in the middle because it's legal in Temple City. Well, one year, one of the older young adults, he had just visited Mexico. And he returned with some special fireworks. They were about 2 inches long, about the diameter of a dime, okay? And they were called M80s. I'd never seen an M80 before. They had told me that it is the power of an eighth of a stick of dynamite. Hey, let's light them up. All right, let's do it. Well, I was young. I was probably 12 or 13. I was not in charge, even though it was my house. And so, hey, does your dad have a bucket? Maybe. So I went in the garage and I found a bucket, a blue bucket. I remember it was a blue bucket. And we went into the middle of the cul-de-sac, lit the M80, and put the bucket on top. We're going to see this bucket in the sky, right? It's going to be so awesome. Yeah, that bucket did not survive. My father was not particularly pleased that I had destroyed his bucket. Oh, it gets better. On our street, there was a gutter. All the water went to a gutter, to the sewer system. Let's put the M80 in the gutter. And me and my friend Arnold stood on top of the manhole cover. And as it exploded, we actually were lifted off the ground. Why were we so dumb? Weakness, pride, wanting to show off. Weakness. I remember coming away from that experience terrified, first of all, someone's going to call the cops. But more importantly, that dynamite is powerful. It is extremely potent. And this was only an eighth of a stick. And Paul says it's this kind of power that's available to you. that God provides for you. It's this kind of power that was required to raise Jesus from the dead. The next word, working, is the word energeia, energy, energeia. The next word after that, mighty strength. I don't remember which one. Is it the mighty or is it the strength? I think it's the next one, mighty, is the word kratos. Okay, kratos doesn't come across into English, except you look it up. Kratos is the divine personification of strength in Greek mythology, Kratos. For a second, I thought Kratos was the bad guy in Endgame. And that's Thanos. It's close, though. Sounded like that. There is a tremendous power that is available to us. It's dynamite power. It's energy power. It's the divine personification of strength power that's available to us, Paul says. It's incomparable. It's great. And it's for those of us who believe. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that is available to us today to overcome things like sin and struggle. And so I ask you, do you experience this power? This life-changing power. This is powerful power. Do you experience this power? I envy, to a certain degree, my charismatic brothers and sisters. Those who go to churches that belong to the sort of the more charismatic movement. I envy them to a certain degree because they experience this power. I'm not a charismatic. And I experience it less. Why is it that we don't experience this power? This power to help us overcome our weaknesses. My son is sick. He could not breathe yesterday. He was almost, I think, on the verge of fainting because he was panting with very short breaths. Where's the power? I would love to have healing hands to just touch him and say, go away in the name of Jesus, and deep breaths. I would love that power. I would love to be able to offer that power to my son. I would love to be able to offer you power and say, stop being envious. You will not be envious anymore. You will not be insecure anymore. You will not be lustful anymore. You will not struggle with unfaithfulness anymore. You will not struggle with addiction anymore. I would love to do that. I wish I could. I can't. This power that is available for us, why is it that sometimes we don't experience it? I'm going to suggest three things here. Maybe we aren't aware it's available to us. There's a cognitive part to this, a learning part. You have to learn that this power is available to you, that God did not leave us alone, that this power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us, that the Holy Spirit works in us, that does provide for us the strength to overcome these things. Are you aware that you have it? Are you aware that it's for you? This to me is an example of spiritual wisdom and knowledge that we need. We need to learn that it's for us, that when we feel powerless, we can ask for it. That leads us to the second one. Maybe we don't ask for it. God, strengthen me. You know, I hope that if there's no one else you can be honest to with your own struggles, the deepest, darkest, most cobwebby corners of your heart, if there's no one else that you can be honest with, you be honest with the Lord. And you tell him there ain't no secrets. He already knows. And there is something to being honest with the Lord and saying, God, I can't overcome this. I'm constantly struggling with weakness in this area or that. Help me to overcome it. Maybe you aren't aware that you have it. Maybe you don't ask for it. Maybe you don't want it. If you aren't aware that the power is available to you, we can remedy that right now. The power is available to us. This power that rose Jesus from the dead, it says here, I want you to know his incomparably great power for us who believe. It's for us. If you don't ask for it, we need to start asking for it. The assumption is that the struggles that we experience, we want to overcome. But we have a hard time because they're hard. Lastly, maybe we don't want it. This speaks of your will. Sometimes we struggle with things. And really, we enjoy it. We enjoy it. Sometimes we struggle with sin and it's pleasurable. It feeds us to a certain way, in a deviant way. It feeds us. Sometimes we need to ask God, God, change my attitude and my heart. I like this thing, whatever it is, too much. I like this game too much. I like this anger too much. I like this lust too much. This morning, we think about this power. And I'm going to tell you right now that if we don't have this power, we have no chance. Because the struggles that we experience in our bodies, in our outer man, in our flesh, the struggles that we experience are extreme. Satan is no dummy. He's good at what he does. He is very skillful at what he does. And he knows where we are weak. And he's really good at putting things in front of us in the world that tap into our weakness. He's really good at that. You know, I think to myself, this cat and mouse game that we play in terms of, Zachary's got a cold, okay? He's sick. And maybe one day, maybe, I don't put it past medical science. One day, we will discover the cure to the common cold. And it'll be instant. You take it in a half hour and you're good. Oh man, that'd be great. You know what's going to happen then? I can already predict it. Something else will afflict us. Something else will come up. And it'll be something we can't fix yet. This is that struggle that we experience in life, okay? We're going to cure one thing and in the process create or discover something else is afflicting us because that's the weakness that we experience. Folks, as long as we are on earth, as long as we are on this side of the second coming, we will never overcome ourselves. It's not going to happen because God wants to fix us completely at the resurrection. And until then, we are just coping. On our own strength, we've got no shot. No shot whatsoever. But the power of the resurrection that works in us, that's available to us, that is for us when we ask, this is better than us. This can help us. It's stronger than us. It's stronger than the sin that we experience. It allows us to endure. It allows us to persevere. Do you think that after all these years of being a believer, you are still a believer because of your own resolve? You think it's because you are so faithful as a person that you are still a Christian today? You are still a Christian because of that power. That power that works in us. And it binds us and seals us. It's this power this morning that I want us to understand. This incomparably great power. This incomparably great power that at one point raised Jesus from the dead. Today, it continues to work in us when we seek for it. When we ask for it and when we submit ourselves to that power. And it's that same power that one day will raise us from the dead. It will fix us for eternity. That's what I look forward to, folks. That's what I look forward to. Let me give you a heads up really quick as we close down this message this morning. Next week is our special Mission Sunday. I'm not done yet. We're going to continue this chapter in 2 weeks. I really encourage you, in 2 weeks' time, when we come back together, we're going to remind ourselves of where we've been and finish up this chapter. Because the punchline comes in 2 weeks. The climax comes in 2 weeks. In the meantime, let's bow our heads this morning and lift up to the Lord our own weakness and ask Him for this incomparably great power for us. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet and silence this morning for each of us to confess to the Lord our own weakness and pray for His power. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning and we confess to You that we are tremendously weak people. We confess to You our inability to overcome sin on our own. Father, we confess to You the areas of our own personal spiritual lives where we are especially frail, where we are especially vulnerable. And we ask for Your power, Lord. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, that You would provide for us that power to strengthen us, to help us to overcome these weaknesses, to help us to hang on to our faith, to hang on to this hope, to persevere, because we know one day when Your Son returns, we will be healed fully from these things. We pray for Your power to work in us as You have said it will. We pray these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.